Hello, my name's Chris Netherton. I'm the head of the African Swine Fever Vaccinology Group at the Perrott Institute, and I'm leading work package 7, which is trying to develop a subunit vaccine against African swine fever as part of the DEFEND project.
That's great, thank you. And what can you tell me about African swine fever virus? Because it's not just found in Africa, is it?
No, it's not, no. So African swine fever, as the name suggests, was originally identified in Africa way back at the beginning of the 20th century. It was a disease of pigs. Farmers were finding that their pigs were dying of this hemorrhagic lethal disease. Eventually worked out that this was caused by a virus, and there were outbreaks of African swine fever in Africa for many years. And then in the late 1950s, early 1960s, it appeared in Spain and Portugal. And it was there for maybe 20, 30, 40 years before they managed to get it under control. Everything went quiet, more or less, apart from in Africa, where it continues to cause problems right up to the present day. But in 2007, the virus appeared in Georgia. And from there, it has spread west into Europe and reached as far as Belgium in 2018, although that outbreak has been brought under control and is currently on the border between Germany and Poland. And then in 2018, it appeared in China. And from there, it has spread over most of Southeast Asia and caused the deaths of an awful lot of pigs due to the disease itself and also the control measures that are required to bring it under control.
Right. I mean, it's obviously a very difficult disease to control. So what are the difficulties in actually designing and creating and making and distributing a vaccine for this disease in pigs and wild boar?
So certainly about the control, one of the difficulties is that African swine fever in its initial stages is quite similar to other diseases. And so diagnosis is really important, rapid diagnosis, and then strict biosecurity on farms to try and stop the virus getting in the first place, which is difficult if you're dealing even with a high biosecurity farm. But you think about backyard farmers, then it gets even more difficult. And this is kind of one of the complicating factors for trying to bring the disease under control. Now, of course, as you mentioned, we don't have a vaccine, and that would be absolutely fantastic and probably help control the disease a lot. But it's proven difficult. So kind of the traditional ways that people think about making vaccines are to inactivate the virus or potentially take that virus and repeatedly passage it, repeatedly grow it through tissue culture. And this often attenuates the virus, makes it weaker, and can lead to the development of a weakened virus that can be used as a vaccine. But unfortunately, with African swine fever, neither of these approaches worked. Inactivated virus didn't work at all, and then these attenuated, weakened viruses had a tendency to cause a chronic disease, which complicated control of the disease even more. So what we're trying to do is trying to follow a similar approach to what's been done with the COVID vaccine, which is trying to identify little bits of the virus that could be incorporated into what we're calling a subunit vaccine. So in the same way with the Chadox virus, the AstraZeneca virus, which is a harmless adenovirus that expresses a single protein from the COVID. So this is a spike protein that everyone's been hearing about, and you generate an immune response to that protein, and that immune response is sufficient to protect us from getting disease. Now, the problem with African swine fever is that there isn't one single gene that's a kind of a standout part of the virus that we could think about putting into such a vaccine. So it's a large double-stranded DNA virus, which essentially means it's complicated, has lots of different genes. The virus itself is a large virus, so there are lots of components to it. There isn't a standout gene like the spike protein in COVID that you could think about including in that vaccine. The other problem is, I guess people might have heard about neutralizing antibodies. With African swine fever, we're not convinced that it's just an antibody response that you need to create a decent immune response that will protect the pigs. I think we also need the cellular immune response. So we need to find antigens that can potentially promote a cellular immune response that will protect the pigs. So this is cellular immune response, essentially the white blood cells that are circulating in your body. They can recognize cells that are infected with virus and then kill them. It's one of the other mechanisms by which our bodies can protect us against invading pathogens. So what we're essentially trying to do is identify ASF or African swine fever proteins that induce this cellular immune response, and then select some of those to incorporate into a adenovirus vector, like has been done with the AstraZeneca vaccine, and to see if that will induce an immune response against African swine fever and ultimately protect the pigs against the disease.
I mean, obviously different methods have been tried already, as you're explaining, and it's a very complex process to eliminate things that essentially have been tried, they don't work. We're obviously trying something new here. And in terms of the work package that you lead for Defend, and obviously looking at this area of work, what progress can you tell us about? What's been happening? What's the news?
Yeah, of course. As hopefully I managed to kind of at least explain to you, it's a process. We've got to find the genes, make the vaccines, and then test the vaccine. And essentially, we're at the process, at the point where we have found the genes we're interested in. We've essentially done a screen looking at all these 150, 160 different genes to see which ones would be most likely to produce this cellular immune response we're after. And we have now taken those genes, incorporated them into the vaccines. And we have series of adenoviruses that are expressing some of these genes. And we're now building up to obviously the really crucial part of it, which is testing these vaccines in pigs to see if they, one, induce an immune response, and secondly, whether if they are encounter the virus, whether they're protected, whether that immune response is sufficient to protect them from disease.
So this might be the stage that you're at now might be the stage where you actually get a few surprises, but have you had any sort of unexpected discoveries or some, you know, what have been the issues along the way?
The issues really are basically down to the complexity of the virus. We've had to, as I said, 150 genes to look at is a lot, and the techniques and technologies that we can use to try and understand the cellular immune response are quite tricky techniques. Identifying neutralizing antibodies can be a little more straightforward in some senses. So with there's a complexity of the techniques we've had to use to identify the genes of interest, and then just the scale of the virus, which has taken up a lot of time trying to identify the genes we want to progress with.
And I was just thinking, obviously a number of people have worked on this virus, on the ASFE, in trying to find different solutions in the past. So we're building upon existing work, aren't we, really, at Defend? Have there been any examples of any surprises that you found along the way looking at past research and experiments?
I wouldn't say surprises as such. I mean, I guess, yes, you're right. We have built on research that's gone in the past, particularly the research that kind of demonstrated that it was this cellular immune response that was really important. And this work was done a number of years ago here at Birbright. And so I guess it's a continuum from that work. Problem with African swine fever is the virus itself. It's the complexity of it.
I'm interested to know what drew you to this aspect of animal research, or indeed what you find most interesting about this particular virus, or indeed this area of work.
I think lots of people who start working on African swine fever, you either do a short project and then you move on to something else, or it gets its claws into you and you get fascinated by it. It's a very different virus to the other viruses that are out there. It's essentially its own little niche. It's got this curious ecological niche where it replicates in ticks and also infects warthogs and bush pigs, but doesn't cause disease. And then when the virus gets into pigs, it causes the issues of lethal hemorrhagic disease. So I guess curiosity with the unusual is probably fair to say. And Well, I was not a farmer myself. I came from a fairly rural background, so I knew farmers, and so animal health is something that's always been there in the background, I guess, and so being able to contribute to that. And you can research pathogens, you can they're interesting in their own sake, but ultimately what we want is to generate impact and things that can help farmers. And the thing that's really missing with African swine fever is this vaccine. So that's what drives us.
I mean, it's interesting, isn't it, to think about the people who are ultimately going to benefit from the work that we do here at Defend, and how we're going to find the answer and then distribute the answer, or, you know, see what the next stage is. So in terms of where we are with Defend, obviously we're about halfway through the project. What is the immediate future for you on this particular work package? What are the next steps?
The next big step is this vaccine trial. That's going to tell us an enormous amount. And so we're, I guess, looking forward to it, but also one of these big experiments, you always have a bit of nervous trepidation about what's going to happen, because that's science, right? You don't know what's going to happen. In 3, 4, 5, 6 months, we'll have a much better idea about where we'll be going in the future. So this is kind of a hurdle we've got to get across. And then I think we'll learn an awful lot from this experiment, and will give us a good idea about where to go next.
Yeah, and what would you say have been the challenges getting to this point? I mean, obviously the virus is difficult, but in terms of maybe even with the animal trial, what has to be overcome in those aspects there before you can actually begin the work?
The fairly complicated experiments, but so it's just mostly organizational rather than anything specific. I mean, obviously these things need to be planned carefully. We're working with animals, so we need to make sure that we make the best use of them, and everything goes according to plan. So it's just bringing in different teams. So work will be done across a couple of sites. We obviously the vaccines were made by our colleagues at Oxford, so it's coordinating with them to make sure that the vaccines are what we think they are. Do that quality assurance before we go forward to animal experimentation. So I guess organizational challenges.
It's a great deal of, it's time consuming, and obviously requires a great deal of expertise and liaising with, as you say, different teams in different parts of the country. And Defend is obviously an international research project, so we sort of bring in all different partners from all over the world. And yeah. I, for one, I'm very excited to work on this project and to learn more about how this particular work package fits in with others. And it's just been quite informative and interesting to speak to you, Chris.
Oh, thank you very much.